They've made the decision to load the bases and go after Omar Narvaez, looking for his first Citi Field hit of the year. Swinging a liner over short, base hit left center, put it in the books. McNeil scores from third. Omar Narvaez has his first hit at Citi Field this season. The Mets have scored three in the bottom of the ninth to win the ball game. They beat the Giants 4-3. They end their five-game losing streak, and they're pouncing on Omar Narvaez back behind second base on the outfield grass on a day when the Giants did not have their closer Camilo Doval available. The Mets come from behind against Tyler Rogers. Three in the ninth. The Mets have won the ball game 4-3.
It's another edition of the Talking Mets podcast here on Memorial Day, May the 27th, 2024. Of course, I'm your host, Mike Silva. You can check me out all the time at thetalkingmetspodcast.com. You can get me on X at Talking Mets No G and on your favorite podcasting service, Apple, Spotify, pretty much whatever podcasting service you desire. If you want to interact with me, Mike Silva at talkingmetspodcast.com. No G, Mike Silva at talkingmetspodcast.com. You can get me on Instagram, Talking Mets No G, and don't forget the newsletter, substack.com/@TalkingMetsNoG. And I want to welcome in the good folks from the Fansided Podcasting Network for supporting this show. Happy Memorial Day to everybody, the first, well, unofficial day of summer. Hope you had a great, nice, long weekend and you're capping it off with something fun, whether it be listening to this show, maybe watching a little baseball later today, the Mets take on the Dodgers, or just doing whatever you like. Big show today. This is, at the Talking Mets podcast, a big day. For those that are loyal listeners of the show, know that through the first 2 months of the season, we call it the getting to know you phase, and that here we kind of have this unofficial blessing off of, okay, this is what the team is, and here's where it's going the rest of the season. And it is amazing because as much as the baseball season is a long season, and it is, it really goes by fast because opening day seemed just like yesterday. It seemed like yesterday we were watching the Mets take on the Brewers at Citi Field on opening day, and that wild first week, the Mets start at 0-5 and things like that. So we're going to get into that. We're going to talk a little bit about this team. And then in the second half of the program, David Stearns was on the broadcast on Friday night. Steve Cohen is out there tweeting a little bit over the last week. And I'm going to talk about the Mets message and what the Mets messaging needs to be going forward, because I think that's as important as anything that could happen with the front office and on the field. So anyway, I have been watching social media. I have the emotions and the feelings that you do. And before Omar Narvaez, and you heard it coming in, the highlight, which honestly, I was out and about. I had to watch it on replay. I was a little shocked when I turned on my MLB.com app and saw that the Mets had won after five games losing in a row, awful ways to lose. Most of them they could have won. Horrible losses on Friday and Saturday at home to the Giants. And really this homestand was the last stand. And I saw the comments. I saw people who are saying, hey, this is bad for my mental health watching this team. And I'm ready to check out. And I can't do this anymore. And this is the worst Mets team ever. And that's not true, believe me. I've seen these kind of disappointing seasons. I mean, really, what you see happening on the field here in May is an iteration of what happened last year in 23, what happened later in the season in 21, and versions of it in 2018 and 2017. And I could go on and on and on and on and on this whole thing. But admit it. There's a part of you, and think about us as these two, like, distinct beings. There's the rational, pragmatic, especially in the world of data, fan that knows where things are going and has to look at the numbers and says, you know, this is why data stinks, because it always throws that cold, harsh reality into my drunken fan face, proverbial drunken fan face. And then there's the fan in you. There's the fan in you that says, you know, I remember the Nats in 2019 who got clobbered at Citi Field right around this time of the year. and were like, what, 12 games under 500 and came back to win a World Series. I remember the Phillies, again, around this time of the year, that came into Citi Field and got swept, and Joe Girardi got fired and came back to make the postseason and the World Series. I remember, these are all recent years, the 21 Braves, who were under 500 around the All-Star break, came back, won the division, and won the World Series. And there's so many others. You know, Cardinals teams that, under Tony La Russa, were out of the wild card by double digits late August, came back to make it to the postseason and make it to the World Series. So there's history there. There's hope there. You see Acuna, unfortunately, crumble to the floor with another knee injury. The Braves are starting to look a little bit fallible. You get up and you go to the standings. You're like, well, it's a muck. It's an ugly muck. But the Mets are only four games out of the wild card spot. But they're also only four games out of the Marlins. But that's with the third wild card muck. That's why the league added an extra playoff team, because they don't want fans on Memorial Day in various cities waving the white flag. They want you to have hope, because hope is good for business. And then you start to look at the starting pitching. It hasn't been bad. There's Severino flirting with a no-hitter again. You've had some good outings here now after a rough start from Quintana. You look at guys like Buto when they're up here, and there's promise in Christian Scott. There's some promise with the young arms, and you know, who knows what David Peterson, who's starting later this week, and Tyler McGill can produce. So there is some hope there. And the bullpen, look, the most incredible part about the bullpen, Diaz has been the worst of the worst out of that bullpen. Who would have predicted that? Even him coming back from an injury. But he's still Edwin Diaz, and you go, there's got to be some tick up. At some point, it's going to click, and it's all going to happen. And you're probably saying, look, Mike, you know, it's not early, but 85 wins is what we've talked about since the beginning of the season, even during the offseason. That's not impossible. And it's, you know, look, they could go 63-47, a 57% winning percentage. And all that isn't false. I mean, the Mets are a couple of games under their Pythagorean record. But then reality sets in, and there's that alter ego, the data-driven ego, the person that ruins the party here, so to speak, because they have logic and facts. And really, what part of Diaz now after 2 months? From day one, I've been saying something's wrong. The fastball's ordinary, doesn't have the explosion. The slider hangs. The command stinks. The confidence is at an all-time low. It's worse than it was in 2019. He has gone from 180 to 180, back to 180, maybe to 210 on the scale, way off the 180. How can you change Jeff McNeil, who now for almost 2 years is hitting like Joey Wendell? How can you turn around Lindor, who you're stuck with for a decade, who now hits like Ray Ordóñez? Third base is a complete quandary. I mean, Beatty looks like Nolan Arenado at third base defensively, but I don't even know if he's a triple-A hitter sometimes at the plate. You love Vientos at the plate. Is it sustainable? We'll find out. But you know his glove isn't great. Can you go in a lab and put them together? You know that can't happen. Marte is in a decline. You're seeing the decline of a veteran ball player who's a good component player now, but there was much more needed out of him for this team. And guys like Nimmo and Alonso, I mean, Alonso is not horrible, but he's having not a great walk year. And Nimmo's been a notch below what you expect. And you put all that together and you say to yourself, there's a lot that can go really, really swing the other way good. And a team like this, same conversation we had last year with the club, is this could swing over and this could get really, really good. And then all of a sudden in 6 weeks, we're talking about what do they need to add at the deadline to really make the postseason. That might be, though, and this is really where the quandary is. This homestand, first of all, is the last stand. The Mets have to make a move towards 500. They have to go out and win some series. They have to win a series against the Diamondbacks. They have to win the series against the Dodgers, who are struggling right now. And my fear is that this team will get hot. This team will tease. Cohen, as an owner, knows how important it is to continue to push the Mets brand as one that's moving forward. I think Stearns is in a tight spot because he's new. He's been highly criticized, and he comes from that ilk of GMs that love these long, arduous, never-ending rebuilds that really don't benefit anybody but them and their job security. So he's in that quandary. And I could see a scenario where the Mets get hot in June. Usually it's the opposite way. Play really well in April, May, and then there's the June swoon. I see June, they're getting hot. They have a softer part of the schedule, I think, getting into July. And then all of a sudden, we're talking a different ball game than we were just a week ago, where I'm like, hey, it's not happening. It's time to rip this thing apart. And that's where this is really going. And that's the scary part. We'll know more by the end of this week. Look, they go out and they lose, you know, a four-game series against Arizona and a three-game series against the Dodgers, and they lose 5 of 6 or something like that. I don't want to hear about they're going to get hot. I really don't. I don't want to hear about that. And, you know, that could happen. And look, based on what you've seen, it's likely to happen. I mean, you got. I'm looking at the schedule here against the Dodgers. They got Stone, the LA pitching one game. Glasnow, that is a tough matchup. And another game, you know, I'd have to bring up, you know, all the games. And then, you know, you got, you know, here, what's it going Wednesday here? You know, they got Paxton, tough matchup. Thursday, you know, well, they don't have the start of schedule for Arizona. So, you know, you could see it going bad. And look, fine, you know, that happens and so be it. But it's hard for me, even as the most optimistic version of what you hear on this show, to go out and say, hey, tomorrow or today is the day Diaz finds himself. Tomorrow, today is the day that all of a sudden Alonso hits like it's 2022. You know, Jeff McNeil is going to become Pete Rose again, and Brandon Nimmo is going to go back to, you know, there's about a 20% decline in Nimmo's performance this year. I mean, the shame of it all, and this is where I think everybody and the fans are going to focus on it. Stearns had a good offseason. He brought in very good pitching. I mean, the blueprint that was set out in spring training, it can work. Their starting pitching gets them now. It's starting to get them into the sixth inning. It's giving the bullpen a chance in a close game, a bullpen that is much better than it's been in a few years, to do their thing and get the bridge to an elite closer. But the elite closer is not elite. I mean, his peripherals aren't horrible, but he's an automatic blown save. You can see it. He's waiting for the roof to cave in. I mean, even the guys like Josh Walker, Sean Reed, Foley, you know, I know Reed Garrett had a horrible outing on Friday. It was bound to happen. He was barely giving up anything. I mean, the blueprint works. The component players he's brought in, Harrison Bader has been clutch. He's been good on defense. He is the kind of center fielder that you want to stick in to a good lineup that you don't care what he does offensively. You don't. I mean, Tomas Nito has been really good. He shows you what a good, solid backup catcher he is. You don't want him to play every day, which is what they're doing until they wait for Alvarez. You know, Tyrone Taylor, a good backup. I mean, they've had an okay offseason. You're starting to see the fruits of development with Buto, who's down in the minor leagues right now. Unfairly, but it's a numbers game. I mean, the Mets have a starting pitching numbers game where Buto can't get into the mix on a team 8 games on the 500. That tells you they got something good going on. Christian Scott deserved a win the other night, didn't get it. You know, maybe Brandon Sproat joins them. Maybe Dom Hamill joins them. Maybe Blade Tidwell joins them. Maybe not this year. But you have a lot of options. And Stearns has shown you that he knows how to pick guys at a good price off the free agent market if he's not going at the top of the top. He does. And it's a shame because that's what everybody's going to focus on. Well, Stearns didn't sign anybody big. I mean, you want to say like the Yankees trading for Soto would have been, you know, the elixir here, maybe, but you want to give up Scott, you want to give up, you know, you'd have to give up a lot to get to that guy. And this is not the NBA or the NFL. They're not a quarterback away. You know, Soto's not going to come in and be the closer and the cleanup hitter and the, you know, pitch 6 innings. That's a conversation for the offseason. If you think you could sell Soto to come here after he's likely to have a Yankee team that's going to probably win 95 games and make some kind of run in the postseason, we'll see. Best case scenario, they make the postseason, Soto has a bad series, and the fans boom out of town. That's what you could hope for. So that's what people are going to focus in on, but that's just not the case. The case and the fact of the matter is that this Mets season, shockingly, because I could never have predicted it, and I'm sorry, even the biggest media Mets hater, a buster only, let's call it, would not have predicted that Alonso would be 10 to 15% worse than what he should be, that Nimmo would be 15 to 20% worse than he should be, that Lindor is 30% worse than he should be, that Diaz is one of the worst closers right now in the game. He's a mess. I mean, even guys like Beatty, who are playing really good defensively, but at the plate, I mean, they're striking out well over 30% of the time. I mean, yeah, he had a big home run the other day, but I mean, you just don't see a light at the offensive end of the tunnel. I said that on the defensive side last year. It's possibly time to give him some time. So it's okay now for the next week, maybe a little bit more, to go out there and have that alter ego give you hope. It's okay at 4 o'clock today to turn the game on and say, you know what, Narvaez, walk off, a little jolt of energy. You know, I wrote about this over Beyond the Mic on Friday. What kind of jolt of energy can the Mets get? Maybe that's the jolt of energy, because there's no cavalry coming over the hill. And we'll get to Stearns and the messaging after the break, because there's no big trade they can make right now. And probably, you know, here on May 27th, you're not going to start ripping the team apart, because I don't know if you get the best deal possible unless you want to make room, like trading a JD Martinez to make room for Vientos. But at this point, with how bad that Beatty is playing, I mean, there's room for him at third base. See if the kid could play the field. Give him a chance to show that he's more than just another version of JD Martinez. But out of all the things, and this is where everybody who doesn't believe in the yoke and believe how to break a curse or a cloud hanging over a team like the Red Sox did, like the Hockey Rangers did, like the Cubs did, like the Knicks to a certain degree are trying to do after 50 years. You just don't get breaks. You have to really bust through it. You have to really work hard at it. And who would have thought that the names I just gave you, Alonso, Nimmo, Lindor, Diaz, even to a certain degree McNeil, the core guys, the reason all these years the Mets have invested in teams, when Cohen came in and easily could have ripped this sucker apart, he said, no, I want to invest in this group and add to it in the core with a in-prime free agent, upcoming free agent that was available in Lindor. And he did. And to see that this is going to go down in flames this way is hard to take. But, and this is more for the next segment, selling this group, trust in this group is at an all-time low, even after the base hit on Saturday, on Sunday. Now, would I be talking differently if they had closed the deal with Diaz or Reed Garrett on Friday and Saturday? Maybe. I'd say it's a little more probable they'd be close to their Pythagorean one loss, a couple of games close to the wild card, but the message is the same. It is very hard logically to sit here and say that this is a team that even if they get to that 85 wins, they can make noise in a postseason with teams like the Phillies and the Dodgers at the top. Yeah, hey, listen, you're looking at it. The Braves are more vulnerable now. Acuna's out. Maybe the Braves need an offensive player. Maybe they need a bat. You know, I don't know if they're going to, you know, with Olsen, they're not going to need Alonso. I don't know what you could offer them. You know, maybe, you know, I hate to say it. I know, and I know that there's, I think with Diaz, there's a no-trade clause. But, you know, maybe you dangle some guys there. I'm not opposed to going, you know, Nimmo. You know, I'm not opposed to starting to offer guys to teams that you can't think of. Yankees, too. You know, all these principles that I've held in the past are all out the window now. Because you're at a critical mass again with this team. The bloom is off the rose with Cohen. The good feelings of a new owner are gone. You have to really be brutally honest and look at where this team is at and say to yourself, even in the best case scenario, is this team capable of going 63-47, which is what it's going to take to make a wild card with just 85 wins. And yeah, you have what I said, the 21 Braves, the 22 Phillies, the 19 Nats. You got all these NL East competitors that over the last half a decade or so have done just that. Why not the Mets? Why not me, Mike? Why can't I have a summer? Why do I have to turn my back on baseball on Memorial Day when I don't even have, I got 8 weeks before football training camp and the Knicks season just ended. And maybe you're a Rangers fan and you're into that and good for you because now maybe you have another 2 to 3 weeks of intense hockey, playoff hockey in front of you. I mean, this would have been even worse if you didn't have the Knicks and Rangers run. You know, if you're a Knicks and Rangers fan, you know, you've already been sitting through this garbage since May 1st and torturing yourself, wondering, you know, what am I going to do with myself? There's plenty to do this summer. And I've seen the tweets. I've seen the comments. You know, people are ready to move on from this team. Now, attendance was good this weekend. It is the Giants. It was a nice weekend, a holiday weekend. They did have a promotion. I didn't know Hello Kitty would get 41,000. But you know, once, you know, today they'll do okay. It's maybe because Memorial Day is tricky. And you know, during the week, it's going to drop back down to the 17, 18,000 that you've been seeing because people are not going to invest the money and the time and the aggravation of going to a ballpark to get their teeth kicked in. They're just not going to do it. There's too many other things to do. Doesn't matter that there's Shake Shack. It doesn't matter that there's all this great food. It doesn't matter that, hey, I'm a lifelong Mets fan. I just love watching baseball. They're not going to do it. So we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, so this is the hopeful side starts the show. Get out there, watch the Mets at 4 o'clock later today. Hope and dream that all the things that could happen and the back of the baseball card says should happen could turn this thing wildly around from a team on pace to lose well over 90 games to a team on pace to, you know, basically they got to go on a pace at 57% to win 90 games. They got to swing this 180. Swing it 180. Now we're going to go more logical because here's where I believe in the next segment it's critically important. The Mets, Stearns and Cohen have to get this messaging right. And they're not lying, and they're not duplicitous, and they're not trying to do a sell job. But if they do try to do a sell job, that would be the worst-case scenario for them. It would be disastrous, because this fan base is smart, number one. They've had it, number two. And the one thing you don't want to do with this fan base is play with their loyalty and emotions and use that as a pitch to pitch false hope. And I think that maybe you got another week at the current message, maybe. But after that, you got to be honest about this. So anyway, let's take a quick break. Back with more right after this.